It's the happy hour here on the Guy Benson Show. Thank you very much for being here. Glad to be back in the Tony Snow studio at Fox News Washington, D.C. Bureau. And very thrilled and honored to have you here as well. GuyBensonShow.com, our website. Podcast is always free, always on demand when the show is over. GuyBensonShow.com, FoxNewsPodcast.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. And this hour, as ever, sponsored in part by our friends at The Finish Long Drink. Delicious and refreshing and consumed in large quantities at my home over the holidays. Mostly not by me, because I've been under the weather. You might hear it in my voice. I'm still not fully back health-wise, although I'm feeling better than I have in a while, thank goodness. But we had friends and family around who were more than happy to pick up the slack, my brother in particular. He was downing the long drink like it was going out of style. So we do enjoy it. Always drink responsibly, please. 21 plus only, thelongdrink.com. And joining us now is my best friend, Outkick columnist, co-author of our book, End of Discussion, conservative commentator Mary Catherine Hamm. Mary Catherine, Happy New Year.
Hello, Happy New Year. Lovely to have you back in the saddle. I don't know if you know this, Guy, but I was once the host of the Guy Benson Show.
I do know that because I was a guest on that very show when you and Griff were co-hosting. Yes. And in fact, we talked during that segment, if I recall correctly, last month about college football, and we're going to do exactly that again here in a moment. But before we get to college football, let's get to other college and university-related news. Earlier today, Claudine Gay, the president of Harvard, announced that she is resigning. This is amid a huge torrent of criticism about how Harvard and other schools have handled anti-Semitism and some of the Hamas rallies, for example, that have sprouted up across various campuses. Penn's president went down for that not long ago. Now, Claudine Gay at Harvard, also on her way out, she submitted a letter announcing the resignation and confirming a student newspaper report just a few hours ago. On top of the anti-Semitism problem at Harvard was this boiling scandal involving plagiarism, where more and more examples from her work through the years appeared to be just cribbed, copied and pasted directly without attribution. Over the course of now dozens of examples, there was one that came out yesterday where it looked like she just kind of borrowed or stole half a page worth of one document from another scholar without proper attribution. And it looked to me like, with the shoes continuing to drop, that she couldn't really hang on. Like, she and her colleagues at that hearing on anti-Semitism in the House before the holidays performed horrifically poorly, which led, I think, to the ouster at Penn. Then you layer this plagiarism on top, and it seemed like the bell was going to toll at some point for Claudine Gay. But given DEI and her profile and all this stuff, she was hanging on for dear life. She had her defenders. The school came out swinging on her behalf. Even before they investigated the claims of plagiarism, they said they weren't true or they were baseless, and they were trying to bully the New York Post with lawsuit threats if they were going to report on this at all. Of course, all of that didn't work out very well for them, and she is gone. I guess President Barack Obama, former president, was agitating on her behalf behind the scenes, trying to keep her. So that was not sufficient, apparently, those efforts. And he's clearly not terribly offended by plagiarism because he put a serial, lifelong plagiarist on his ticket, the man who is now president, Joe Biden. But, Mary Catherine, that's a big preamble to pretty significant news today. President of Harvard is out. Another domino has fallen. What's your overall reaction to this?
I mean, it seems to me that this is a fairly obviously right and just call that she should be out, if for no other reason than her very obvious unethical plagiarism problems, if you forgive them for her, mean that you can never hold students to a higher standard, which Harvard regularly does. And so if she is guilty of this offense, which, like I said, it's fairly obvious when you look at the side-by-sides of these texts, Harvard would like to uphold a standard where the scholarship of their scholars needs to be original, just as their students have to turn in original papers, then they must take this step. Now, there are those who, that they were, they're in a bad position, right? Because if you ascribe to social justice and DEI beliefs and the intersectionality and the hierarchy that most at Harvard do, then ousting a black female president is a tough one, right? Because she should be given that position because of historical hardships to her gender and her race, and therefore ousting her, even if she's done something wrong, is an offense, right, in and of itself. But I think that
Mary Catherine, you actually saw people quoted in the media in recent days saying that, yes, she was clearly guilty of the plagiarism and there was unethical scholarship involved, and probably she might have to go, but they were struggling with it because the bad people would get credit for this scalp. And the people who noticed and pushed the story were those awful right-wingers, and therefore they were, under this ideology, sort of afraid to do the obvious thing because she is basically in a protected class under the way that this game works. And the people who were making a big deal of it were the bad people. And so to give them a win, people didn't want to do that. That's like sort of core tribalism.
Well, yeah, and the argument is that noticing clear ethical violations by someone from a protected class is racism itself, when in fact it is.
Right.
It would be literally racist to hold her to a different standard than another president.
Right. A lower standard.
Yes. So you should, in fact, punish her in the same way that you would punish a student or any other president, because that is how you treat people equally. The thing about DEI and intersectionality is that they don't want to treat people equally, right? That's the foundation of this form of ideology, which is the problem with the culture at Harvard and all these other places at large, like in a larger sense, beyond just Claudine Gay. Look, getting rid of any particular president for any particular offense is not going to fix the culture at these colleges. But I appreciate occasionally when someone does get punished for something other than, I don't know, like a kid putting problematic language in a private chat and having his Harvard acceptance rescinded, which is something that Harvard has done, right?
Yeah, to like someone who had written something when they were 15 privately,
right,
and jump all over that. And we saw the double standard, a massive glaring double standard about the type of speech that was cracked down on campuses like Harvard versus tolerated or even encouraged when it came to like genocidal or eliminationist slogans against Israel. It's just like there are different sets of rules depending on who is doing the speaking and who the speech is about. And that is not a free speech, sustainable culture. And I agree that sort of lopping the head off of some of these organizations with these sacrifices, right, where down go various university presidents, it doesn't solve the problem. But maybe, Mary Catherine, could be naive, but maybe it's evidence that some of the most insane excesses possibly are in the rearview mirror. I'm not sure, but I'm hopeful.
I hope so, too. And I think it will take groups of very brave faculty to join together and make a stand for actual free speech. I think that is part of the way out of this. And it does take bravery because these people do want to ruin you if you believe in something so shocking as free speech and actually applying standards equally. But this is an instance where the standards seem to reluctantly at this point have been applied equally, despite the fact that Claudine Gay is indeed, from according to these people, a protected class who should not have to suffer these consequences. She will.
One other thing about Claudine Gay in particular, not only is she, many people argue, a DEI hire given her profile, and therefore seemed like she would be harder to remove from this position, I think part of that rationale, part of the reason behind that was, it's not just that she's a woman of color. A lot of her scholarship, to the extent that she was published, she didn't really produce that large of a volume of work. But the stuff that she did put out there, some of it obviously was plagiarized, but a lot of it was about race. Her subject matter was race and racial inequities, which was like another layer of protection. But part of the downfall here, it looks like, was that when she was trying to defend, I believe it was a thesis involving race, there were people asking questions about the underlying data that she used, and she refused to produce the data, which is, again, rather suspicious. And part of the reason that we know about any of this, Mary Catherine, is because there were some people within the Harvard community, alumni and others, who were willing to blow the whistle, other faculty members and students slowly but surely willing to come out, stakeholders, and say, this is wrong, this is a huge problem. And you had the Washington Free Beacon, a right-leaning organization, media group, that were all over this story. And they kind of drove the bus on the story. And it was just sort of fascinating to see, yes, the mainstream media covered it a little bit, although they did so reluctantly and sort of sadly because, again, the wrong types of people were excited about the story and their tribe wasn't excited about the story. You had people working the ref saying there's way too much coverage of this insignificant, weird little fascination about the president of Harvard potentially being deeply unethical and a plagiarist and all of it. And I just wonder if you have a thought on the Washington Free Beacon, sort of in the driver's seat, scoop after scoop, and credit to them, they did a fabulous job. But it was sort of interesting that it wasn't the big mainstream legacy prestige organizations that were really going after this very hard, because you'd have to suspect, again, it has something to do with tribalism.
Yeah, well, and I think the legacy organizations don't understand how deep their trust problem is with their customer base, or not customer base at this point, most people have abandoned them, but they align with the universities on this ideology, and therefore it's hard for them to cover this.
And well, and also their customer base, just to jump in, their right. subscribers, the people who are actually buying their product and consuming it most loyally, they are ideological combatants. They actually demand, in many cases, to be not necessarily lied to, but to only have one element of the story spoon-fed to them because they don't want to hear the other things.
And you as do most of the people in the actual newsroom, like to a disturbing degree.
Yes, that was my next
degree.
Point. Exactly. Yes.
And so it's a real problem, and it's a real problem both for universities and newspapers and media, because if they want to function in the way that they should for a free society, they can't, under these circumstances, so deep into this ideology and not earning trust from other people. Whether they want to do that is a whole other issue. But I am glad that the likes of Aaron Savarium, and there's a lot of other investigative reporters at the Free Beacon, Eliana Johnson leads that crew, and Alana Goodman, who do a lot of really tough work digging this stuff up, the work that used to be done other places. But because these targets are not deemed okay for national investigative reporters, it falls to the Free Beacon, and I'm glad they do that work, because this is real honest work on a real story.
From college presidents to college pigskin, we'll turn to football. Fun little conversation with Mary Catherine Hamm right after this break.
In the swamp, not of the swamp, Guy Benson.
We are back on the Guy Benson Show. It's the happy hour. Catch me tonight on Special Report in the 6 p.m. hour, Fox News Channel. Mary Catherine Hamm, college football as promised. Yesterday, we saw the semifinals in the college football playoff. Both games were just fantastic. The Rose Bowl, which was Michigan and Alabama, went to overtime. Very rare thing at the Rose Bowl. You and I witnessed the first ever overtime, actually, at the Rose Bowl, that glorious Georgia-Oklahoma game a few years ago. But Michigan in overtime vanquished Bama. They move on to the championship game in Houston. And then the nightcap, the Sugar Bowl, in New Orleans, another great game where Texas had an opportunity at the end to make this sort of stunning comeback against Washington, but it fell short. The Huskies, the 2 seed, are off to face Michigan in the championship game, but both of the matchups were amazing. Both came down to literally the very last play of the game. Thrilling. Did the committee, the much maligned committee, get it right? And I ask you this, yes, as a Georgia fan.
You know, I literally don't have a dog in this fight, which is to say that I have a dog in this fight. But look, I am disappointed, of course, that Georgia was left out of the playoffs. I think for my partisan view on that, do I think that Georgia would have given Michigan as good a game or better than Bama? Yes, I do. I think that would have been a fine matchup as well. So I don't think that this proves that we were not deserving to be there. And on one hand, I like to see SEC domination, obviously, but I also like to see Bama lose. So, you know,
this is how I feel. I feel the other way around, where, like, I really don't like Michigan, and I'm not a Harbaugh fan, and some of their scandals and the cheating and other allegations. But also, I was rooting for the Big Ten to beat the SEC, and particularly Alabama, which clearly just couldn't handle all that Big Ten speed and power, which is why Michigan won. So I was like happy, and I have friends who are Michigan fans. But look, the games were really good. Florida State, I mean, we talked about that when you were filling in. Georgia had just as much to play for, basically, as Florida State. We saw how that game ended. Just an absolute epic blowout for the University of Georgia. And I think some of the comments from your head coach, Kirby Smart, after the game would be fodder for some hopefully thoughtful discussions about the future of college football and bowl season and the transfer portal and NIL. I think there are some things that are not sustainable right now, and I think Kirby came close to putting his finger on some of that, and I hope that that becomes a constructive conversation more broadly. But looking forward to next week, Michigan and Washington for all the marbles in Houston. I'll definitely be watching. And, of course, the most important bowl game of the season, the Las Vegas Bowl, won by the Northwestern Wildcats in an upset over the Utah Utes. So I just had to throw that in there as well. All right, Mary Catherine, who you got in the championship game? Do you have a rooting interest at this point?
I don't think I have a rooting interest, but, like, I feel like the Huskies would be very surprising, more surprising than Michigan. So, let's go with that.
You're rooting
for the
Huskies.
I care for good football. I will always have a grudge because I don't think Georgia should have fallen on 1 3-point loss in 3 years, 4 or 5 positions. However, I'm here for the good football.
I am as well. And we got a lot of it yesterday. And with all the chatter and controversy and all of that, I think ultimately the members of the committee probably feel pretty good given what happened in your game, the Georgia-FSU game, and then what happened yesterday with extremely tight competitive matchups. And then the whole system changes next year. It's a 12-team playoff, and the other bowls will sort of realign, and it'll be another big seismic moment in the college football landscape. A lot of those changes I'm not a fan of, but last night, watching the Rose Bowl in that beautiful setting, those two programs, those bands, those fight songs, those fan bases, like, all right, this is college football at its highest level with everything on the line. It was a glorious thing to watch. Congratulations to the victors. I'm probably rooting for Michigan through gritted teeth in the championship game, but we'll see how the spirit moves next week. Mary Catherine Hamm, she's an OutKick columnist. She and I wrote the book End of Discussion a number of years ago. I do encourage you to find it and look it up and buy it if you haven't read it yet. And she's a conservative commentator who you see all over the place, including on this very program. Mary Catherine, great to talk to you. Hope you're feeling better. Are you feeling better mostly?
I am doing better too, yes.
That's good. Not 100% of the way there, but almost. We're almost there. We've both been sick for weeks. And with that, we got to run. Mary Catherine, thank you so much. It's the Guy Benson Show. We'll be right back.